begins as we are studying this book out this summer. And you can turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Today we're going to be going through chapter 1 verse 24 to chapter 2 verse 5. And I'm excited to get into this together. And then I'm also excited to head out to the camp this afternoon. Who's going to camp today? Right, a bunch of us are heading down to Camp Hope for Kids. We're going to have 3 days or so of just awesome fellowship, but then great, deep biblical teaching with a bunch of disciples from New York, New Jersey, and the ACR. So be praying for all of us going to that. It will be recorded and put on our YouTube channel. So if you're not going, you can look forward to that. And I'm also very excited about our special missions contribution next Sunday. It is such an honor and a joy that we get to be part of a global fellowship and family of churches. And what a privilege that God has given to us so that we can give to support others.
Amen.
And we do get to support many great places, churches in Africa, the Caribbean, upstate New York, our local ministry training program, Guy Hammond's Strength and Weakness Ministry. And so I definitely want to urge all of you to not miss out on the opportunity to give to support those things that God has given to all of us, and all of us have something to give. Amen?
Amen.
So next Sunday, make sure that you don't come before the Lord empty-handed, but are ready to give to Him. And
that's right.
Obviously, we don't collect physically in person anymore, but to be ready to do that online, right? Yeah. And you give to special the same place that you give to regular weekly. You just go in that, you know, tab down box and select special instead of selecting weekly. So I'm excited to see what God does through us in giving to that. But we could jump here. You guys ready to jump into Colossians? All right. So I'll have it up on the screen, but you can probably see it better in your own Bible because this is a lot of text. So you could read along with me here. Let's jump into Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. It says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery," or other translations say, "the secret that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect or mature in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in the spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is." Amen?
Amen.
Wow, what a rich passage of scripture, right? It's times like this where you read really not a whole lot, but then you step back from it and you go, whoa, this is a lot. And you try to digest it. And we definitely can't cover every little part of this today. But the focus of our lesson today is one of the things I think is a major focus of this passage. And that is the call for us to mature in Christ. Maturing in Christ. You know, the older NIV uses the word struggling. The new NIV uses the word contending. And that means fighting for something. And Paul says that he is struggling. He's wrestling. He's fighting for something. And what he was fighting for was the church to mature, to present the Christians mature in Christ. Not just as Christians, but as people who are growing as Christians. How many of you want to grow spiritually?
Amen.
All right, good. We all raise our hands. Renan, I assume it's just because you're writing. No. I know you want to grow because you were so busy taking notes. Right? We all want to grow. You raised your hand so quick. We all want to grow spiritually, right? And that's what we need to focus on and what this passage is focusing on. And the truth is, we were all born again in baptism, right? When we were baptized, we were born again, right? As infants in Christ. And like babies born physically, we're meant to grow. Right? Any baby that's born, you know they're not going to stay that way. They're going to grow. And so here's the thing. Babies are fully alive, fully themselves, but not fully grown yet. Right? And that's us spiritually. Right? Babies have to mature physically, emotionally, mentally, socially. There's so many ways that babies need to grow in order to make it, in order to be strong, in order to give back to society, to their family, to the world, right? We have all, I'm sure you can relate to this, we've all met people who are immature for their age, right? Have you met people and you're like, that's a little, you're immature for your age, right? And it's not an attractive thing. And imagine this to its extreme, right? Imagine you go over to one of your friend in here's house and you sit down to eat and then their mom comes over and spoon feeds them, right? I mean, are you gonna be like, looking at them a little bit differently, like, hey, bro, we gotta help you out here. Or if you were together and you were going to leave, and then when they went to put on their shoes, their dad had to come over and tie their shoes for them. You're like, bro, you really should know how to tie your shoes by now, right? Or, you know, if two of you were out to eat together, and you said, hey, would you mind splitting a meal? And they just totally lost it over having to share something. Because that's what younger kids who aren't mature socially yet do. They lose it over having to share something. Or if one of you during the sermon right now just kind of, you know, suddenly threw up a little bit on yourself and then just continued on as if that was no big deal and just, you know, sat there and continuing to listen, right? We don't do those things anymore because we grew up. We matured. We learned how to take care of ourselves in different ways, right? If any of us did any of those things, it would not be attractive. It would not be normal. But that's the same way it is spiritually. We're born again when we're baptized, but then we're meant to grow up. We're meant to mature. And here's the thing, is it doesn't mean we're not saved, right? Just like a baby, we're fully alive in Christ. We're fully forgiven, but we're not fully mature yet. We still need to, like it says here, be presented fully in maturity in Christ. And it's not attractive to God or anyone to become a Christian, but then to not grow. To get baptized and then kind of stay in the same place spiritually year after year. And so Paul says here, I fill up in my flesh what's still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. And at first that could sound a little sacrilegious, like, wait, bro, what do you mean Christ's afflictions were lacking? Right? Well, the reality is Jesus' death fully saves us, but then there still is some work to be done for us to grow spiritually.
Yep.
And so it's not a work to save us, but it is a work to grow, to mature spiritually. And so we fulfill Jesus' death, not just by being saved, but by growing and maturing spiritually. Amen? So what are some of the marks of maturity in the Bible? There might be more than this, but here's some of them. This is what a spiritually mature person is portrayed as in the Bible. And this could be, you know, 8 great quiet times for you to have right here, maybe even more than that. But here's what a mature Christian looks like, somebody who has grown up spiritually. First is that they are becoming like Jesus. That's who we're following. They're becoming more like Jesus. They're living a spiritual life, not acting the way they did in the world anymore. Ephesians 4:13 talks about this. Another quality of a mature Christian is that they have a solid foundation of the elementary teachings, right? The elementary truths, the foundational teachings of Christianity, you have a solid footing on those. You have deep convictions on those things. Another quality of a mature Christian is that you're learning to distinguish good from evil based on the scriptures. And this is referred to as righteousness. That you're no longer totally unclear on, like, well, what should I do here? That You're learning to understand, you know, this is what Jesus would do. You know, this is not what Jesus would do. And a spiritually mature person can distinguish good from evil. Another thing is that they are focused on investing treasure in heaven. A spiritually immature person is kind of still dumping their life into this world. But a mature person understands that that's not where they should be investing their life, that it's smarter, it's better to be investing treasure in heaven. Another quality is a spiritually mature person faces trials with endurance. Amen. That when they go through hard times, they don't give up. They don't quit. They don't doubt God. They endure. They grow through the trials. Another thing is a spiritually mature person is able to teach others the word of God. Right? Once somebody grows, they should be able to give back to the community. They no longer are needing to just be fed and taken care of. They give back. They actually help build the community. And it's the same way in Christ, that as you become mature, you should be able to help teach others to grow spiritually, teach others to become Christians, and learning how to help other people from the Word of God. It kind of goes along with the next one, right? That a mature person isn't just there to take, but is there to give, to contribute, to have their own, so to speak, chores in the church, right? Things that are yours to give and your part to play. And lastly, a spiritually mature person is unified and has spiritual relationships in the church. Is not quick to gossip or divisive or drama, right? But is mature in their relationships. When you look at this list, I want you to think this morning, how are you doing when it comes to being spiritually mature? Are you maturing? Are you heading in the direction of these areas? Right? And I want you to think too, maybe what are one or two areas on this list that you can focus on this summer in growing in? Right? What are two areas on this list that you can say, you know what, God, I'm going to work on maturing in this area this summer? And the truth is that maybe it's going to be, and probably it's going to be a little bit messy and a little bit ugly at first. Right? When any child or any baby is first starting to learn how to do something on their own, they're not good at it. Right? When they're learning to maybe feed themselves, their face, the plate, the table is going to be covered in food. But you know what? That's okay. It's part of the process. You know, when you're first learning how to dress yourself, you might come out not matching, not looking too great, but that's part of the process. And it's okay if you're messing up. It's okay if it's a little ugly at first. But it's better to be starting to try to grow in these things than to not try at all. Right. And you push through that, and then that's how you mature. Yeah. You know, God's plan is that people are baptized and then become newborn babies in the Lord, right? But God's plan is that people are baptized, but then mature Christians take care of them and help them to grow, so that those people can then become mature to turn around to help raise up the next group of people that are brought into God's family, right? And that's what we are as a family, with new people coming in that need to be raised, but then turn around and help raise others. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I think it's important to note that spiritual maturity is a matter of spiritual life and death. This is not a, well, it's okay if I don't grow type of thing. You know, in Luke 8:14, in the parable of the sower, it says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Now, here's the thing, is some of you may, or some of you could, or any of us could, walk away from God and be choked in your faith due to any of these things. It could be due to worries in life. It could be due to deceitfulness of riches and pleasure. But it also could be due to the fact that you do not mature. You get baptized, but then you don't grow. And that's why it's so important that we mature and we grow spiritually. So how do we mature? You know, there's a bunch of answers to that. Here's a short list, which I'm not going to get into all of these, but I am going to get a little bit into two answers. It's time and experiences. You know, you time needs to go by. You don't just mature overnight, but it also takes doing things, experiences. You know, and so that's one aspect. Another is eagerness. It takes eagerness to grow. You don't grow through apathy. You grow through eagerness. 1 Peter 2 talks about craving to grow, like an infant craves milk. And so you've got to be eager to grow, eager to learn. Another way to mature is immersing yourself in God's Word, really digging deeply into God's Word, reading it every day, applying it.
Another way to mature is through prayer. Colossians 4:12 is a great verse that says, Epaphras, who is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Right? It takes praying for yourself, but also getting other people praying for you to mature spiritually. And then the last one here that it takes to mature is it does take enduring hardship as discipline. It takes persevering through trials. If when you're tempted or you're going through a really tough time or you're really wrestling in your faith, if you give up, then you will not mature, right? It takes enduring through trials, enduring through temptation to grow and to mature spiritually. But the two main ways that I want to focus on today that help us to mature is focusing on Jesus and fighting for each other. And so focusing on Jesus is a major aspect of maturing spiritually. If we got our eyes fixed on a bunch of other things, then that's going to be what we move towards. But if our eyes are focused on Jesus, then that's going to be what we're going towards.
Come on.
We need to focus on Jesus to grow spiritually. Right, just to remind you of some of the Colossians passage I read, just the section I read, it mentions Christ's afflictions, Christ's body, Christ in you. He is the one we proclaim. Present everyone fully mature in Christ. With all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Know the mystery of God, namely Christ.
Come on.
In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How firm your faith in Christ is. Listen how many times Jesus is mentioned in just this one short section. There's such a focus on Jesus because we mature spiritually when we stay focused on Jesus. Right? What you go toward is what you grow toward. Right? Whatever you're going for, that's what you're going to grow towards. Right? If you're really going towards something of the world, then you're going to grow more into that direction. But if you're really going towards Christ, that's going to be what you grow towards as well. You know, talked in this Colossians passage here of this mystery or the secret, depending on the translation. Do you guys remember that there? It says this mystery that God has now revealed. And I want you to remember from the introduction sermon we had, that Colossae, the city there, the church there, they were dealing with a lot of false teaching that Paul was trying to help them to deal with. And some of this false teaching came from these worldly mystery cults, they were called or referred to. There were these mystery cults in Colossae and in the ancient Roman world. And ideas from those practices were kind of warping into Christianity. And what Paul is doing here is he's using a common word, this word mystery or secret. He's using a common word associated with these many exclusive groups in society that claim to have secrets of wisdom and knowledge that people had to pay a lot of money to earn or to learn. And it was really only the wealthy or the elite few that had the mysteries, that had the secrets to life or to a better life or that led to salvation. And so there are these mystery cults with these secrets that only some people got to have. And what this is saying is that, no, that's not actually where the secret is. That's not where the mystery is answered. This is saying God's people, the Lord's people, the saints, they're the ones with the secrets and the mystery of knowledge and wisdom. And what is the secret? Well, you don't have to pay a lot of money for it. You don't have to be elite for it. What is the secret? It's Jesus. Jesus is the secret. And so we proclaim him to everyone. It's not exclusive. It's not hidden. It's not secret. In fact, we're trying plainly to let everybody know the secret of life, the secret to eternal life. And so it's not a secret. Although to most of the world, it is still a mystery. But we know the secret to life. We know Jesus. The mystery of God. The supreme secret of life is Christ. In Christ, it says, are stored all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Right? And we want to know, well, how do I live? What's right? What's true? We want wisdom. We want knowledge. And this says, in Christ are all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, I remember one Christmas growing up, and this might date me, and this might be embarrassing or whatever, but I had a huge CD collection, still do, and growing up, that was kind of like my main thing, was collecting CDs of rock and heavy metal music and all that stuff. And so, you know, in high school, elementary school, that was like what I wanted more than anything, right? And I had this huge CD collection, and so I remember giving my mom for Christmas a big list of CDs that I wanted. And that was pretty much all I asked for. And I woke up Christmas morning and I saw my little, you know, pile of presents and quickly assessed that none of them looked like CD wrappers. You know, it was kind of bigger boxes or different shapes, and I'm like, okay, amen. I got other stuff, be grateful. You know, but, you know, I probably didn't think that. Maybe that's Christian Rob thinking I thought that. But, you know, I started opening the presents, and one thing after another, I'm trying to, you know, be excited about what I got. And I was getting to the end, and there was really just one box left, this, like, big square box. And, you know, I was trying to present that I was happy with what I was getting. But inside, I know I felt really discouraged. I'm like, man, these other things are fine, but I literally asked for these other things, you know? And so I open this last box, unwrap it, it's the square box. I open it up, and inside of it was probably at least a dozen CDs that my mom had wrapped individually, all of them in that one big box. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is it, it's all right here. And I was so excited. I think my mom saw, she was probably watching me the whole time, like, oh, just wait, you know? And I was so excited. All the treasures, everything I'd asked for, everything I was hoping for, was not in all the other wrappers. It was all in this one box. And that's what this is saying is Jesus, right? It's not in all these other things. All of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, all of the secret of life, it's in Jesus. It's all in Him. In Christ are these treasures. And so that's where we should focus. That's where we should look. If you want to know the secret of how to live satisfied in your soul, in your heart, of how to live feeling loved and accepted, of how to have a secure identity of who you are, if you want to live knowing what the truth is, if you want to live knowing the secrets of, well, how do I have successful relationships?
Yeah.
How do I have good friendships? How do I have a good marriage, a good family? Yeah. Right? How do I heal a broken heart? How do we build a truly unified, diverse community? Where are all the answers to those treasures? It's in Jesus.
Come on, Rob.
The knowledge, the wisdom is in Jesus.
Preach, bro.
And you know, we might not have anything called mystery cults today. You know what? There probably are, right? But probably if anything was referred to as that, people would run away, not run towards it, right?
Hellfire.
We may not have mystery cults in the same packaging. And yes, there's some wonky religions that are similar, like Scientology and stuff like that, right? That you gotta pay for these secrets, right? But the truth is, maybe there are still some mystery cults holding out these things, right? Maybe we look at the exclusive groups of the rich or the famous, but really it's probably the wealthy. We look at the lives of the wealthy that we're not part of, and we obsess over their lives, and we think they have it all. They have the secrets of life and wisdom. But we should know that that's not the case. Yeah. Right? Maybe we look to friends on campus, friends in the world, people in the world, and we wonder, is there a way better? Right? We see them start dating. Right? Maybe we see them pursuing their career in an unrighteous way. We see them cheating to get a better grade in school. We see them drinking to have fun or to feel better. Yeah. And we start wondering, maybe that is better. Right. Maybe that is the way to live. And ultimately, society is full of groups and organizations of all different kinds that act like they have all of the answers. We are on the right side. Side with us. And the truth is that we could be pulled into them. Pulled into their way of thinking and thinking their ways are all correct. And sometimes Christians do buy into these things. And sometimes when Christians buy into these, they blend it with Christianity. And then act like they are enlightened followers of Christ. And those who still follow to a traditional biblical Christianity are extreme or wrong or outdated. And that there's some new version that's much better. Mm. Right? And certainly there's things to learn. There's things to grow in. But this is similar to what the Gnostics in the first century were. They They took wisdom of the world and secrets of knowledge and blended it with Christianity. And that's so much of the false Christianity they had to deal with. And so we can listen to these organizations or these groups that might have some truth, but not all truth.
Yeah. Right.
Only Jesus has all truth.
Amen.
But then you could swing the other way and say, well, I don't listen to anybody. I look inside for my own truth. I listen to my own truth. I look into my heart for truth. And certainly we need to know ourselves. We need to be true to ourselves. But ultimately, what we should be looking to in ourselves is Christ in us.
Yeah.
And that's what it refers to here, is that the secret is not in you, it's Christ in you.
Amen.
And so when we look in ourselves, what we should be looking for is the Christ that lives in us. And so we can go to these different places, but really where we need to go, the only place we should go is to Jesus. Like our brothers and sisters in Colossae, don't be deceived by fine-sounding arguments. Be disciplined and keep a firm faith in Christ. Focus on Jesus, and then you'll be able to filter whatever the world tries to sell you, whatever others try to tell you. And then instead of giving into the world's lies of secrets, we can give into Jesus's true secrets that lead to spiritual maturity. You know, what's amazing about this as well is that we're not called to muster up something that's outside of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Growing and maturing spiritually, it's not like it's way over there and you gotta go try to get it. It says this secret of Jesus, it's in you. Right? When you were baptized into Christ, you were given the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Jesus in his fullness already lives in you.
That's right.
The spiritually mature version of you that you're trying to grow into, he is already living in you. Christ is already living in you. And so part of this secret, it says this mystery, is Christ in you. And so part of the secret of how to grow and mature spiritually, of focusing on Jesus, is really deciding, I'm going to be led by the Spirit that already lives in me. And live a life led by the Spirit. And if you live a life led by the Spirit, and you rely on the Spirit, then you are going to grow spiritually. So let's be men and women focused on Jesus so that we could spiritually mature. Amen?
Amen.
The second thing I want to close out with here is that we need to fight for each other. Right? It's each of our own responsibility to grow spiritually. If I don't grow, I can't just go, well, nobody helped me to grow. That's true. But we also, equally true, do have a responsibility to each other. Right? We are a body. We are connected. There's no other way around it. Right, we are responsible for each other. I've been studying out the book of Genesis, and tragically, the first two siblings, one of them, Cain, kills the other, Abel. And God comes to him and says, where is your brother? And he says, am I my brother's keeper? And essentially, God says, yes. I'm asking you, where is your brother? You are responsible for him. And we can't say, well, how she's doing, that's not me, that's her. How he's doing, no, we have a spiritual responsibility to each other. That's actually how we complete Jesus' suffering, is suffering for each other spiritually. That's what Paul says in Colossians here, right? We need to fight for each other spiritually. Paul says that I've been made a servant of the church, right? Are you a servant of the church? Would you say, I'm here to serve this group of people. I have a servant of Jesus' body, right? Peter was called to wash his feet. That's what we do that by washing each other's feet, taking care of each other. Paul says that he was suffering for the body of Christ to grow, to mature, to make it through their trials. Are you suffering? Are you wrestling? Are you fighting to help other people in here to grow spiritually? In Colossians 1:28, it says, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, and this is the updated NIV. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy that Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. You know, we must care about each other and not only about ourselves.
Yes.
Like I said, we do have a responsibility to fight for each other, to really strenuously contend for each other, to put an effort to be there for each other, but also to help each other grow.
Amen.
And that's what Paul says here, to present Christ to each other, to teach and to admonish each other. And the reality is this has to go both ways. Sure. We've got to be people who let others help us grow. Sure. Right? In Hebrews chapter 5, where it talks about maturing, it says you need someone to teach you. And that's the truth. We all need someone to teach us. Mm. None of us grows without other people influencing us. And so this morning, I want you to reflect on your own heart as a learner. Are you a learner? Do you let other people teach you and influence you spiritually? How easy to teach are you? Or do you make it hard for others to teach and admonish and present Jesus to you? Let's make it easy for people to help us to grow. Amen?
Amen.
But on the flip side, are you helping others to grow spiritually?
Come on, Rob.
Now, this says strenuously contend. This should be a major effort in our lives, is to help each other to grow. How do we do that? Well, we help each other grow and mature by encouraging each other daily, by being in connection with each other. And encouraging doesn't just mean, hey, what's up, but it could start there, right? But it means to be in there to help each other through hardship, help each other through temptation, help each other through trials, to notice if somebody's drifting and to go after them. To dig into, well, what's going on? What's happening in your life, in your heart? And to wrestle them back to God. Amen. With you. It takes sharing scriptures. Right? It would be amazing if in our fellowship, after church is over, Fridays, whatever, there's conversations where the Bible is out and you guys are sharing scriptures with each other. Here's what I learned this week. What are you going through? Oh, here's a verse that has helped me with that. Let me share it with you. Right? We've got to share scriptures with each other. That's what Paul said he was doing here. He was making known fully the word of God, sharing the scriptures with them. Part of this too is bringing up things that you notice, right? We've got to look out for each other.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that I think we got to maybe grow in a little bit, is when someone is drifting, when someone is struggling with sin, when someone is weak in some area, do you look away or do you love up on them? Right? Do you notice and you go, well, maybe somebody else will talk to them about it. Ooh, that Instagram post, that was a little rough. You know, maybe you notice things, but do you say something?
Come on, Rob.
And I'm not saying to say something harshly or judgmentally or critically, but speak the truth in love.
Yeah.
Right? To fight for each other. And it's better to bring something up and to fight for somebody than to not for fight for them at all and just let Satan fight for them.
That's right.
We've got to fight for each other. Teaching and admonishing each other. Now, teaching means to instruct. And sometimes that's what we got to do, is instruct each other, give advice, help each other out. Hey, here's what helps me, and we're instructed. Sometimes we do need to admonish each other. Admonish means to put in order or to warn. And sometimes there does need to be some more confrontational conversations. And I would encourage us to grow in them as well, doing all of such in love and encouragement and in peace. Amen?
Amen.
You know, what I love it says is that Paul isn't just wrestling for those that he's close to. Well, I got my two or three people I'm close to, and we fight for each other. He says, I'm continuing for you and those in Laodicea, and I've never even met any of you guys.
Wow.
Right? I mean, he had met Epaphras, who planted the church there, but really, he's fighting for people he didn't even know that well. And that's a call higher for me, because sometimes I could go, well, I don't know him that well, so maybe somebody else can help him. You know, but we're here together. We've got to be here to help each other, right?
Yeah.
And I want to encourage us to maybe open that door of who are we willing to help, to not just some people we're already close to, but to anybody and everybody who is our brother or sister in Christ. And this vision here is really such an inspiring thing. I mean, how amazing that God is inviting us, you, me, every one of us, to not just become a Christian and to make it to heaven, but to get to help other people do that.
Yeah.
That we get to play a role in helping people to find the secret of life, to find the secret of eternal life. I mean, if there's some big, juicy secret, and you know it, and somebody says, okay, go ahead, you can tell them. I mean, you're like, oh, I get to tell them the secret, right? I mean, we have the secret that everybody's trying to figure out. To not just eternal life, how to get to heaven, but really how to live such a better life here.
Yeah.
You know, Christianity doesn't save us from life's hardships, but boy, does it help so much.
Yeah.
I can't imagine going through life without God.
Yeah.
Right? We have the secret of how to not just get to heaven, but to how to do life here the right way.
Yeah.
So much better. And we get to, like, you get to, if you want, if you'll embrace it, you get to live a life where you help people become Christians, and then you help to present Christ to them, to teach and admonish them, and then to present them fully mature in Christ.
Amen.
Right? And not just you, the Spirit and many other people will help along the way.
Yeah.
But that you get to play a role in presenting somebody, hey, I got to work in this person's life, and now here they are, a mature Christian.
Amen.
Right? And I want to put that before you as a vision for all of you to be involved with helping someone find Christ and then become a mature Christian.
Amen.
Now, one of the most special relationships in my life is, oh, the emotions come out of nowhere, is with Charles Delval.
Come on.
And many of you know Charles, and Charles is a very special friend and brother. Now, I want to share some pictures with you here. This is a screenshot of my contact with Charles. And so I met Charles on campus, sharing my faith at William Patterson, in the spring of 2013. I shared with a bunch of people that day, and Charles stood out to me as one of the most open and eager people. And so in the notes of the contact, the day I met him, I wrote, study, because he was open to meet him and study. And I wrote, Wednesday Bible talk, because he said he could make it to that. And I wrote, interested, because he seemed very interested. And so I just put those notes there to remind me, hey, this was one of the really seemingly open guys you met this day. And so I followed up with Charles later that day. We met a couple days later, had our first Bible study, and 16 days from this day, I was able to baptize him into Christ.
Wow.
Charles became my brother, your brother. You laughing at it? It's all right. I'm a William Patterson shirt. You know, so this was such a joy to help Charles become a Christian. But it didn't just stop there. I knew I had this new baby. I'm like, well, I got to work in his life to help present him mature in Christ. And so over the years, we had so many deep talks together, memories, discipling times. I mean, we worked through so much stuff that went on in his life, in his heart, and obviously in mine as well. But just a lot of effort from me and other people pouring into this new Christian, this young man of God.
That's right.
A few years after that, I got to go attend his graduation. And let me just say, this might not have happened if he did not become a Christian.
Yeah.
Right? School was not something that was likely in the cards of him completing. But by becoming a Christian, he was able to learn the discipline and the focus and the work ethic to help him accomplish being one of the first people in his family to graduate college.
Come on, Rob.
This is what Jesus wants to give us. The secrets to life. And not only did I get to watch him mature spiritually, but we got to turn around and help other people become Christians as well. And this is just one picture of many of men Charles and I studied the Bible with together and got to baptize new baby Christians that we worked together to help raise them up to become mature.
Amen.
In Christ. And then yesterday, at the ridiculous hour of 5 in the morning, I got to attend Charles's wedding, which don't ask me why, but him and Nobi both decided to have a sunrise wedding down in South Jersey. So we were up at 3 o'clock in the morning getting dressed together. Me, Mark, Matt, we were up together 3 a.m. getting on our tuxedos, and we got to present Charles down the aisle as our brother that we had helped raise in the Lord, marry this spiritual, credible woman of God that he never would have met if he had not become a Christian. And you know, you know, you think about his life and how much different it is because he found Jesus.
Yeah.
He found the secret. And he gets to go to heaven one day, but all the years in between, he's found the secret of a full life in Christ.
Yeah.
And the blessings of being mature in Christ. And obviously, he's still got stuff to grow in. As of yesterday, he's got to grow in being a husband, because we all have to grow in being a husband.
Yeah. That married.
Right? But still being a mature Christian, having those solid foundations. And guys, what I got to experience with him and with others is something God wants all of us to experience.
That's right.
The joy of helping to present Christ to somebody else who needs the secret, who needs the mystery, who needs Jesus. And not just leaving them as a baby, but then investing in their life, fighting for them, to raise and then present them as a mature Christian who now can turn around and help others. And what a joy to get to watch their life grow and change and be something it never would have been had God not used you in it. Amen? Amen. So let's fight for each other. Let's focus on Jesus. This summer, let's really answer God's call to spiritual maturity. Let's crave spiritual growth because we need it. We need to grow spiritually. Yes. It's better to grow spiritually. And if we don't grow spiritually, we will be choked out. So let's focus on growing spiritually so that not only will we be presented fully mature, but we'll get to present others fully mature in Christ as well. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Woo!